be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one to him as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand him your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go with him for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you. Do not turn your back on the one who wants to borrow." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's readings, especially at first glance, ought to make us sick to our stomach, first out of compassion, and then out of fear. We see terrible injustice in this first reading. King Ahab, who has many houses, lots of property, begins to covet his neighbor Naboth's vineyard. So he goes over and says, "Give it to me." He doesn't even say, "Please." And Naboth has a covenant through that land. It was his inheritance. It's family's connection to God. "God forbid that I should give you my ancestral heritage." It wasn't just a piece of property. It was a means, in a sense, of communion with God. He wasn't trying to be selfish. He wasn't trying to be possessive. He was trying to be faithful. And that poison of covetousness was eating the king with all the king had alive. He wouldn't eat. He was just like a spoiled kid laying in his bed, whelping. And that's when his evil wife, Queen Jezebel, the one who had sought to murder Elijah, as we've been hearing about over the last few daily mass readings, set herself into action, using the king's seal, writing in the king's name. She gets a whole bunch of ignoble noblemen and elders to conspire to frame under oath Naboth for a crime he never committed and have him stoned to death for the capital crimes of blaspheming God and cursing the king. And her game plan was executed to the letter. And Ahab went to take Naboth's vineyard after he had been stoned to death. Terrible injustice. Pope Francis this morning, in his homily in the Vatican, said this is a paradigmatic example of the evil of corruption that can affect those who are in positions of ruling power, politicians, can affect those who are in positions of economic power, businessmen who exploit their workers, for example, or don't care if people are going to suffer as long as they continue to make a profit, as well as corrupt spiritual officials who will allow people to starve to death spiritually as long as they're okay. He said the ones who always suffer from this corruption of those in positions of authority are the poorest and the weakest. They are the modern Naboths, who were sacrificed to the vanity, the acquisitiveness, the sheer evil of the vain, those in positions of authority. And yet, what is the response in the Gospel to the first reading today? Seems at first glance that Jesus says, just let it continue to happen. Right? Offer no resistance to one who is evil. If President Obama wants to come and take your home by eminent domain, just give it to him. If the mayor wants it, just give it to him. If your neighbor comes out and says, your house is better than mine, let's trade. Give it to him. Isn't that what he's saying? When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn and offer the other one as well. If somebody wants your winter jacket, give him your underwear. Someone wants you in the old postal system stuff. If one of the postal workers was exhausted or the horse was tired, you could be compelled to walk a mile to deliver the package. Jesus says, if you're compelled in such a way, even by a lazy post office worker who just wants to have a cool drink under a palm tree and calls you in, you go that second mile. Give to the one who asks of you and don't turn your back on anyone who wants to borrow. Basically seems that Jesus is saying, be victimized. Become the Naboth of the modern world. But that's not what he's saying. Today's gospel is incredibly challenging on its own right. But we can't cave in to that very common misinterpretation. When you don't really understand the context of what Jesus is saying, it can lead to this false morality. And then to the rejection of that false morality, because it goes so much against what in conscience God whispers to us about what's really right and wrong. What is the context for us to understand what Jesus is saying appropriately so that then we can go back to the first reading? It's all framed by Jesus' words. During these days, we're getting the various antitheses. You've heard that it was said in the past, but I say to you, Jesus is updating the entire moral code by which people were living. And the moral code that he was going to give a counterpoint to, by this point, was already 2,250 years old. We call it the Law of Tally, and it goes back to the code of Hammurabi. But it was also enshrined in Exodus and Deuteronomy. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. This seems a little brutal, but in the ancient tribal senses of morality, it was precisely given to limit vengeance. In the ancient world, if somebody, for example, killed your oxen, then your entire family now had a vendetta against that person's entire family. And you can see how easily things would have escalated. It would have gone way beyond just the replacement of an oxen. So the Law of Talion was meant to limit that vengeance. Somebody plucks out your eye, you can take the other person's eye, but that's where it stops. Somebody knocks out one of your two teeth, you can take one of his, but that's where it stops. Shouldn't escalate. And it's just you against that person. It's not whole families, it's not whole clans. Was a step on the road to justice, was also a step on the road to what Jesus is going to say today. For us, as his followers, it wasn't going to be enough that we just retaliate up into a point. Jesus was going to call us, and in fact does still call us, to love our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us, to do good to those who do evil to us. And so he gives us these principles. Don't fight back against one who's evil. When someone strikes you on the right cheek, and the way that that would happen, as I've explained before, is it would be an insulting back slap. So if I were righty and I wanted to slap your right cheek, I'd back slap you this way. But if you turn the other cheek, I couldn't back slap you again. It was a way to affirm your dignity without hitting them back in the solar plexus. Someone wants your tunic, give him your cloak as well. Don't selfishly grasp onto it. Someone wants to press you for service for 1 mile, go the second. Don't do it under constraint. Grit in your teeth the entire way, fomenting that anger that could lead to retaliation. Just freely do it as an act of charity. Just like you'll give even your underwear as an act of charity. Give to those who ask of you and don't turn your back on those who want to borrow. Yesterday we celebrated the Feast of the Blessed Trinity and we talked about how God is a communion of persons in love and how he's created us in his image, in love and for love, and that we're called to love sacrificially just like God, in an other-centered way just like the persons of the Trinity, and in a totally merciful way. And Jesus is making it concrete in the very difficult circumstances of life where we would be most tested not to live with love, but to live by the same standards that everybody else lives by. And the whole point of this is something we should never forget. Jesus here implicitly was saying that there's something far more valuable than your cheek, than your eyeballs, than your teeth, than your tunic, than your cloak, than your time, and that everything else that would be asked to borrow, be borrowed. The most important thing you have, which can't be stolen or struck, is your soul. And better for you to give yourself and what you have to others rather than retaliate in such a way that you squander your soul in the process. Each of those opportunities is an opportunity to love in a divine way, and Jesus doesn't want us to waste that occasion. Jesus, in this circumstance, doesn't tell us to do something that he himself hasn't done. He himself, when he was slapped and brutally manhandled by the Roman soldiers, didn't fight back, even though he easily could have. He could have annihilated them all on the spot. And if he were a professional wrestler rather than a savior, he would have. When they stripped him down, Jesus didn't offer any resistance to that, even though, again, he could have undressed them all in terms of the sins that they had committed from the time that they were born. When they pressed him into service to carry the cross, he carried it even beyond Calvary, carrying our crosses together with us until the end of time. He is always giving to those who ask, never turning his back on those who are in need. And Jesus in all of this says, follow me, love one another as I have loved you. This is incredibly challenging, but Jesus will give us the help to do it. Let's return to the first reading. Jesus is not saying to us that any time your neighbor is saying, turn over the deed to your nice new car and I'll give you my jalopy, that we're supposed to go down to the insurance agency and the registry and do it. Because he wants us to love our neighbor. And if our neighbor is trying graspingly to steal something from us, we're doing the neighbor no spiritual good by allowing him to get away with it. But he is calling us very concretely to respond to those provocations with prayer, with pardon, and with love. And so when King Ahaz comes, our response needs to be something like this. Ahab, I love you. I'm not holding on to this vineyard out of selfish reasons, but this is part of my covenant with God. And I love God like I love you. And so you can't have it, but I'm happy to allow you to use it in some way, or I'm happy to allow you to enjoy nice walks in the vineyard, or anything else like this. I'm not trying to shut you out because I care about you, but I'm not going to give you this because it's going to hurt you, and it's going to violate the covenant that I have with the Lord. That's the basic principle that we always need to work out, one with love, and we're never lacking opportunity. In order to strengthen us, in order to live by these challenging words, God feeds us every day by the sacred scripture and then seeks to enter into communion with us by the body and blood of God the Son. It's through these divine means that we become capable of living this gospel to the true letter, which is not the letter of our enabling the mafiosi of the day to get whatever they want, but the way to help even the mafiosi learn the gospel of love. As we enter into communion with the Lord, let us ask him for the grace that we might love in communion with him, even those who seek to take advantage of us in the ways Jesus describes. We respond to provocation, not with vengeance, but with God. Praise be Jesus Christ. No.